bid from RC Lacy's for $49,266. This is for an EV truck. It's going to be paid through by a NYSERDA grant. A motion to approve that?
Motion.
Motion by Dawn, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. One abstain. Renee.
Evening.
You're up, sir. There's a couple new board members, so if you just want to introduce yourself to them.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So for those who don't know me, I've known a few of your board for quite a long years. My name is Ray Mishak, and I was a former executive 390A and Salt Water Conservation District. So we have been around running agencies for about 37, 38 years in the county. So part of the deal when I retired a couple of years, 2 years ago, was that I would stick around and help them as a consultant and finish up some pretty good-sized projects we have, but, you know, the development up in Leeds and getting that business part done. One of them being the Champlain-Hudson Power Express Power Line project, which is why I'm here to speak to you tonight. So you may recall, you know what's coming through now. You can't miss the Kuwait trucks. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm observing, what I'm hearing from friends and people that I know in the business sector, there seems to be a fair amount of spin-off coming out of the projects of some local guys and, you know, restaurants, et cetera, so that's a good sign. But when we reviewed that project, and the IDA did do a pilot for it, as well as sales tax and a mortgage tax exemption, and I did that right before I retired, one of the things we had to acknowledge was that the job was not going to create any permanent long-term employment. We got that. You know, energy projects just don't create employment. Some of you in the room are employers, and if you know how hard it's been to fill the existing jobs in this county the last 10 years, long before COVID, you know, a large new employer sometimes is not necessarily beneficial to us, actually. It is an impact. So there's not going to be any long-term employment, and there's not going to be any secondary or indirect economic impact. So when I took over running the place in 2011, I started to track. I wanted to know what these companies, it's easy to go here to a meeting and tell you, oh yeah, because they spend money in the community. So we started tracking it, but what are we spending? And so you may be surprised, but those warehouses in Coxsackie, $125,000 a year on a slow year, $250,000 as much as $400,000 a year on a, if they're doing remodeling in the offices or something like that. Guys I know, you know, Steph has done floors in one of the businesses. I know the guys doing plowing, et cetera. So we also have to acknowledge that there's none of that secondary long-term spin-off development. So as I put the project together, I try to figure out some way new, creative, innovative to address this. And so what we did is we came up with this idea to create a mitigation fund, which I somewhat regret we called it a community fund, because it's not really necessarily an open, broad community fund. But if you've read the finding statement, which was sent to all the boards, et cetera, about this, what we did is we established a fund on top after the pilot, so I'm going to review the numbers which in a minute. We established a fund in every one of the municipalities where the power line was through, based on the mileage of power line to 3 decimal points. Okay, we're pretty tight. So anyway, and what we did is we established this with the intent being that the communities would use this money to solve those problems that have stymied us with economic development. And you know, Pat and I both know infrastructure is like the biggest thing at the top of the list, water, sewer, whatever. And part of the reason I wanted to do this is because when we started doing the first business parks up in Coxsackie, and yeah, when did we start doing that? In the 2000s, I guess, or 2001. You know, the state grant paid like 64% maybe of the first business park. Flat out state grant money. So we didn't mind putting $2 million on the state highway because state paid for it. When we did the second business park, it went down about 36%. When we went to the third business park, it was goose egg. And that's how it's really been. I mean, not that we can occasionally tap some funds, but the days when they used to be big economic development money, pretty shell rate, it's just gone. So it's like, okay, how do we somehow put some funds in hand? So that's what we've done. We've established this fund. And there's a couple of hard no's that have to do with the fund. It cannot be used to just stick it in and lower your tax rate, okay? And it's gotta be used for credible projects that nobody laughing in our face, say, all right, this is gonna help us advance economic development, okay? Whether it's putting some infrastructure, clearly be top of the line, whether we consider take away portions of the town that we should work with the village to extend water and sewer for further development activity. So part of my job as their consultant now is to put together a set of guidelines. The IDA is going to develop guidelines. That was one of the things that we brought in front with this. But we're not going to develop them handed to you. So you are the last town. I've been in all six of the town and village board meetings. I have the same exact speech. It's just sort of a heads up. Here's where we're going. And just to make sure the message gets out there that this fund was established to mitigate a problem. So when you do, you have a negative problem or a negative action, you try to find a way to have a mitigation that will balance that. God only knows, and I've been around 37, or I guess I've been working in county about 38 years, so I probably have more institutional knowledge than anybody in the room right now about where our problems are, our limitations, etc. And so a couple of other things about the fund is the fund is definitely bankable, which means you're not going to sit there and just find like a project worth your annual income. We find a substantial project, we can bond against that. Okay, interest payments, all that can be taken out of this funding. Okay, this is to be looked at as a do projects that don't have to go back on the tax base, but will set us up for future new tax base being built. Okay, and not necessarily just the stuff the IDA does. This could be setting up for smaller, improving business district potential to get new businesses, whatever. The other thing is that the thing was written to the IDA, the way that the thing was written is written into the IDA's total package. So let's say 5 years in, 7 years in, they decide this is a 30-year fund, okay, it starts in 2026. If they decide you're 15, they're not going to make the payment. The way the agreements are between us and them is that the IDA immediately can terminate all their benefits, and we can require repayment of every tax dollar that we allow them to save. That is a substantial incentive to be, okay? And then the other thing that we did, and this is new, first in a pilot ever, is that we actually put very strong language in there, and that the pilot cannot be canceled, cannot be terminated. Normally a company says, we'll terminate. We've put in there that this is a non-terminable pilot. And specifically because if they terminate it, then tax-wise, it's between you and them. You guys do get out over the property taxes. But if they terminate, it terminates that contract for the host fee, and we're not going to let that happen, okay? So I think those are the main elements of it. Process-wise is that I wanted to get around each of the communities, have a general conversation with the entire town board, be able to ask any initial questions that you have, ask the supervisor to appoint two people from the board, up to you, supervisor, somebody else. In your case, I think you need to be the representative just because your knowledge base, okay? Because what we want to be able to do is I want to be able to sit down and have a couple of informal meetings, with a couple of board members that can go back to the full board and report without set of forum issues. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I want to avoid being public or anything, but again, I do this part-time now as a semi thing. And the one thing I don't mess up at 37 years of public service is doing public meetings 4 nights a week, 3 weeks a month every year, which I did for a long time. So let me stop and pause and see if there's any questions.
So there's two. There's two pilots, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's impressed with my cheat sheet.
Yeah.
So let me explain how this is going to work for you. So when they came to us, they intended to be pretty much right in the CS6 right away. Mm-hmm. There's adjustments. It's somewhat a mess. But for the most part, they're still coming through Green County either in the right of way or right next to it and basically unusable, undevelopable land, right?
Yep.
But so the CXX right away, so that's what we did the analysis on when we evaluated the project. We did the analysis on the 2022 tax year, okay, because that's when the application was reviewed. And in that year, CSX paid the town of Catskill $21,154. Okay, that's what CSX, plus they paid a school, they paid a village. The pilot that they're gonna pay year one is $96,067. $96,067. That is on top of the CSX. So CSX is still responsible to pay you their payment, and Champlain-Hudson will be responsible to pay the IDA the payment, and then we will be responsible to pay the contract payment to you. Now, on your host fee, your first year, $278,893. That's a pretty substantial chunk of money to put down on a capital.
And it's a 30-year escalating, right?
30-year estimated. 1.5, so this is all set in stone. This, there's actually in the pilot, here's 30 years, you will make this exact payment to Casco this year, this exact payment. So your exact payments will total over 30 years, $13,504,876. And that's all in that finding statement, which for the public is on the IDA's website, and it completely details far more than I'm running past here tonight in our analysis of this. Good.
I'm good.
So process wise, think about it, talk about it, give me a couple names. July, August, probably into September, we'll do some informal meetings, you know, maybe get together in town one night and have a cup of coffee and just hash out. I want as much input back. I'd really like to give you guys some direction by budget time, because the rule I've got, I'm starting to write the guidelines now, and what I have written the guidelines right now already is that if the town, because the money's coming in 26, but if we knew already some things we wanted to jump on, if the town chose the budget in 25, you could reimburse yourself out of that fund in 26, okay? Yeah. So just, like, and I've encouraged my task, like, yeah, even if it's just some preliminary engineering, 25 or 30 grand, somebody to say, where's our best bet, where should we, I've got ideas on that, but let's start thinking positively, because these projects, as you know, can take a long time before they actually break ground on that too. So just lastly, when I'm here, I should have noted again that I am working for them as a consultant, so policy questions and all that good stuff, not my ballot anymore. But I just want to mention the Exit 21 project up there real quick. There's so many, especially since we have a good crowd in here. So many rumors going around. If you know by now, Stewart's has been dead in the water because of Verizon. And if anybody around here has ever seen miles and miles and miles of telephone poles that look like midgets, you know, Central Hudson already replaced theirs, and Verizon has it moved their wires like 10 years later. It's terrible for Verizon to move anything. There is a pole in the middle of where their stormwater pond needs to be finished, and until the pole's removed, they can't finish the stormwater pond. They can't pay until they finish the stormwater pond, and we are all waiting on Verizon to get that darn thing done. On the hotel, they are moving along to the site plan process. They'll be back next month, I expect, probably by August, I would think, at this point. They'll probably wrap up and they'll have a little idea where their construction schedule will go. We've got a hurdle to get through in getting the DEC approval for the sewer connection. I'm doing my research right now because I think all of us are a little bit unhappy. I know I am. I worked at the last town boards for 15 years before finally got the sewer project going. And my promise was, when you got the sewer project going, I'd bring the idea to Catskill. Well, you know, the idea is like $3.5 million out of pocket down there. We had to pull all the properties off the market on the harvest side. I'd advise that you should pull it off the market, because Patrick can tell you right now, without an act of God and, you know, taking 800-pound gorilla up to DEC and beating on them, we're comfortable. We'll get the hotel done. But at this point, I don't know about across the other side. So further discussion on that later. But we are working on it, because I think having the town move forward on a whole district with a big allocation, and then all of a sudden one of that allocation is available is
not good.
Something just not good practice and not whatever. Okay. So all right. Well, then I'll take leave and get out of here.
Thank
you. I want to go deadhead some flowers.
Thank you. Appreciate everything. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right. Last meeting, we did an amendment to an MOA resolution for the ambulance shift supervisor. There's actual pay differential from $1 to $2. I don't know if that we want to approve that tonight or think about it and approve it next meeting.
No.
Table it? All right, we'll table that to next meeting. The judges wish to go to, Judge Jacobs and Judge Polino wish to go to the magistrate conference in Niagara Falls on September 22nd to the 25th. That's in their budget already. Just need a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. We have another request from Bulldogs Baseball to use the Ricky Kramer Field for the summer. I don't think they have dates here. I already advised them that there's two other teams that are using the field, so they'll have to work out the schedule with the two other teams. They will provide us with... Was the insurance paperwork with this email, is or no? If not, they will provide us with the insurance paperwork before they use the the field.
Where are they at?
I know they're over in Columbia County. I don't know. Doesn't say exactly in Columbia County where they're at. Mm-hmm. He works for Columbia Green Community College.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they can work it out with the other two teams, I don't see a problem.
Yep, and they're willing to line it, to keep care of the field, to leave it in better shape than they find it that day for games. So, motion?
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Jared, second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Oh, it's a collegiate team.
Yeah. All right. Is there Alexandria or Steph?
Cricket, yeah, Alexandra, that's me.
Okay.
Either one.
All right.
Yeah, on behalf of Cash?
Yes.
Yes. I have some handouts for you guys to follow along.
Thank you.
This is in regards to a proposed vacancy study within Catskill. Thank you.
Yes.
So we have the email here.
Yep. Yeah, I sent the email to everybody as well.
Okay.
I've got some other copies here if people need them. Just set it on this front seat.
Paper's thick.
There's two pages, or two sheets, I guess. I'll read from over here. Thank you for welcoming Cash back to the table. My name is Cricket Lane, and I will be presenting on behalf of CASH, which is Catskill Artists and Creatives for Housing Equity. We are a self-organized group of tenants, homeowners, and landlords concerned about local housing affordability. I invite you to follow along with this presentation using the handout. Please feel free to grab a hard copy up front here. Our objective at this meeting is to obtain authorization from the board to apply on behalf of the town of Catskill for a community development block grant, a CDBG grant, from New York State Office of Community Renewal for the purpose of funding an independent assessment of the town's rental vacancy rate. So why would we want to study on the vacancy rate and what can we do with that? The scope of the study is that it will provide much needed data on the state of Catskill's town rental supply pertaining only to buildings of six or more units built before 1974, of which there are estimated to be around 300. The study's findings will determine whether the town qualifies for state regulatory efforts to protect affordable housing, namely the ETPA, Emergency Tenant Protection Act of 1974. If the vacancy study finds that there is a less than 5% vacancy rate, then the municipality has the option to declare an emergency and enact a local law adopting the ETPA. Rent regulation is not a guaranteed outcome of a vacancy assessment. We are proposing to take only the first step of vacancy assessment at this time. There are some recent figures that inform us of the current need for such a study. Here is the background. The workforce housing assessment published by Greene County in 2023 found that housing was unaffordable for 48% of local renters in 2021 and is forecast to worsen. A median earner in Greene County can afford to buy a home with a maximum price of $142,719 or $285,438 in a two-earner household. With a median sale price of $325,000 in 2022, which is now 2024, and it's gone up, a worker in Greene County would have to earn about $45 an hour to afford the median home sold within the county, but the median wage is less than half that amount. A similar study published by Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress last year found that wage stagnation and soaring cost of housing have produced an affordability crisis locally, wherein the average renter needs 1.8 jobs to afford a two-bedroom apartment. As our local residents and business owners can and will attest, Catskill's economic vitality depends on restaurants and shops who require staff to live within a reasonable distance. With the cost of homeownership dramatically out of reach for most people, it is critical for Catskill to understand the demand on its rental supply so the local electeds can make an informed response. So, the grant application process would look like this. CASH has identified a state grant initiative, as I mentioned before, called the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, through the Housing Trust Fund Corporation's Office of Community Renewal, which awards up to $50,000 for community planning. CDBG funds may be used for the cost of data gathering, studies, analysis, and preparation of plans, and the identification of actions that will implement such plans. Collected for CCE, the consultant who performed this assessment for Philmont and Poughkeepsie, estimated that the direct cost for Catskill would be about $15,000 to $25,000. Applicants may request up to 5% of the CDBG award for administrative costs, and that would be $2,500 of the maximum $50,000 award. If permitted to proceed, CASH would write the grant application on behalf of the town, submitting drafts and reports to the board for review and final endorsement. Thankfully, we have the professional competence for such work. One member of CASH is a professional grant writer, one is a professional grant administrator, and another has prior organizational grant writing experience. CASH can also support the RFP, the request for proposals process, for independent consultants if the grant is received. Because CASH loves Catskill so much, members would volunteer their labor at no cost to the town. In addition to the application work itself, a pre-application public hearing is required. Communities must conduct a public hearing before a quorum of the full legislative body in compliance with New York State citizen participation requirements prior to applying for funding or prior to submitting the application. The CDBG application must be made available to the public for inspection at the municipal offices. The date is proposed for the next board meeting, but can be modified to suit the board's needs. So the proposed application timeline is follows. Depending on when we get an answer of whether we can proceed today, we could start working on the application as early as tomorrow, June 20th, and work on it through July 1st. And then the public hearing would be Tuesday, July 2nd. And then the board would have time to give feedback, make edits, evaluate the application in addition to the public's response until Wednesday, July 17th. And then CASH would incorporate the edits and submit to the board for final approval between July 17th and 24th. And then we would hope to submit the board-approved application to OCR by Wednesday, July 24th, which is 1 week before the final deadline for submitting the application. July 31st, it is due at 4 p.m. no later. So what happens after the grant? If the grant is successful, we would have to issue an RFP seeking bids from independent consultants to assess the vacancy rate of rental housing locally. If the vacancy rate is found to be under 5%, Catskill would then have the opportunity to discuss the ETPA, or rent stabilization. So while we are not asking for a decision on ETPA today, here are some basics on the program. The goal is to benefit the community directly for low to mid income, hardworking folks, as well as the general economic vitality of the community at large, affecting all income brackets. Rent stabilization can help keep families who have lived in Catskill for generations, workers of local businesses, and young people from the increasing risk of being priced out. The regulations of the ETPA would be made by a local body and can always be reevaluated and adjusted. So an independent body called a Rent Guidelines Board, an RGB, would be established to decide the maximum percentage amount that regulated leases could be raised, as well as minor tenant protections. An RGB would be made up of two tenant representatives, two owner representatives, and five public members, each recommended by the municipality. So regarding building eligibility, as stated before, the ETPA would generally apply to residential buildings containing six or more units that were constructed prior to 1974. However, any municipality may impose their own limitations. We think that this would affect around the in the neighborhood of around 300 buildings. What would the impact be on landlords? Enacting the ETPA would not necessarily mean less money for landlords. The amount charged at the time ETPA is enacted would set the initial rate for the tenant currently residing in that unit. Thereafter, the RGB can implement high or low percentage increases each year. In New York City, the RGB has raised rents by as much as 10% each year. The asking rent per unit can be adjusted more widely if a current tenant moves out. Luckily, we wouldn't be the first to do this. Other municipalities, such as Kingston, Newburgh, and as of last night, Poughkeepsie, have opted into the ETPA. Rochester and Philmont are both performing vacancy assessments at this time. So the administrative costs would be low and can be offset. The state would require Catskill to pay about $20 per regulated unit as an administrative fee, and this cost can be passed on to building owners. And there is little risk as it can be rolled back. A municipality that has adopted rent stabilization can fully opt out of regulation or remove certain classes of buildings from regulation after a public hearing and a few other steps. So in conclusion, if given the green light today to proceed, we have two questions for the board. Are there thoughts on the amount of funding we should request, or what additional planning expenses should be considered? And does the pre-application public hearing date work for July 2nd? And in anticipation of the question, how will this impact the village? Or can the village and town apply jointly? We can reach out to a village administrator who is awaiting their attorney's answer. So I thank you for hearing our proposal. We hope you'll agree to allowing cash to write a community development block grant application on your behalf to help keep our neighbors and their homes and our community intact. And even if you are still on the fence about the ETPA, I would like to remind you that performing with city does not obligate the town to opt in. We hope you will simply allow us to pursue the collection of this essential data. I would now like to invite members of the public to share insights and remarks regarding the topic at stake, and then we are happy to take questions from the board. Either order.
So if anybody has any questions or comments, just please state your name and address for the record. Guys?
Hey, Blake. I live at 171 Street, somewhere around the corner. And this is actually reading on behalf of Laura and Liam, who have one. Hello, board members and members of the community. Thank you for hearing us out today. We have lived in the village of Catskill for 8 years now and have always been both residential renters as well as business owners. So we have a unique perspective on the housing crisis that's going on. As business owners of Hilo and now Avalon, we've watched over the last 4 years especially as our regulars are priced out of the village. Many of them have moved to Kingston or Albany after their building was bought and rent spiked. We watch our employees struggle to find affordable housing, and right now only three of our employees are able to afford renting in the village. One employee is currently looking and has been for months with no success. Why does that matter? These are people we love and truly want in our community. They are people who go out and support local businesses, cultural events, live music, and who care about what is going on in the village. They are young people who are vitally needed in the service industry as both employees and customers. Furthermore, on a personal level, as residential renters in the village for 8 years, we've seen apartments double, IRB double in price after we moved out. And these are landlords we felt were fair and fine to rent from, not your stereotypical greedy slumlord. But the point is, when there is no rent regulation and someone is renting out a home as a business, things can get out of hand. We are very much in support of the work that Cash does and hope to see the village work with them on a plan for rent regulation in Catskill. Lastly, as parents of a toddler, we love living in the village for so many reasons, but with no regulation as of now, we live with the low-level anxiety that we will too soon be priced out. Thank you for your time, and sorry you're not able to be there in person, Laura and Liam Singer.
Thank you.
And then, as myself, I just want to say that I've also lived in the village for 8 years. I participated, I bought many cars from Lacey, I rented 4 different apartments on Main Street. My rent when I got here was $750. That same apartment rents for over $2,000 now. I own a house, I'm a landlord, and I don't see why we wouldn't do any of this. I think it's beneficial for everyone, and it, I think it's a protection for our community, not just renters, but also homeowners. And I think it helps. It echoes out further than just regulation for renters and for homeowners. It's about culture. It's about keeping people here. It's about, really pushing for what Catskill is sent to be and why I'm here 8 years ago. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next village board meeting, you should read that letter from Liam. Because again, we can only make a decision for the town. We can't make a decision for the village.
Yeah, they didn't say specifically.
Yep.
Thank
you. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say something. My name is Neva Wartell, 181 Main Street. As the executive director of the Catskill Food Pantry, every week we see more and more the effects of the people having to make a choice between paying rent and buying food, where are they going to raise their family. More and more people we serve are in emergency housing placed by social services in food desert areas like Route 32 with no public transportation. It's a quality of life issue for everybody, and everybody feels the effects of it, whether directly or indirectly. And this is crucial. We've been needing a housing department in Catskill, in Greene County, forever. And this is a moment when we should seize that moment, because it's just gonna get worse. This is gonna get more and more difficult for everybody, and even for the landlords and for the tenants, and for just private homeowners whose lives are going to be affected indirectly by people not being able to find a place to live.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it.
Of the 300 or approximately 300 units that have, it's 6 or more like apartments in the building, how many of those are outside of the village?
We don't have that breakdown.
Yeah,
Nick talked to Audrey, who's our assessor, she gave him 300, but when I talked to Nicholas, who's part of their group, he wasn't sure what the breakdown between town and village was.
I think I actually have the breakdown. I'd have to look it up, though, because I got the report from the assessor.
Okay.
And they gave us the breakdown.
Yes, ma'am, state your name.
Someone else?
Oh.
Just really quick, I apologize, I have to leave soon to pick up my kids. I just wanted to say, I'm Brooke Burrell. I've been a homeowner here in Catskill for about a year. I've been in Greene County for about 8 years. And I just wanted to say on the record that I just really support this. And even as a homeowner, I think it just really affects the community. That's really important.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. My name is Jen Hua. I've lived in Catskill for 24 years. I've lived in my apartment at 28 William Street for the last 8 years. 8 is a magic number. There's a longevity bonus that landlords can get after if they have a tenant for 8 years and then they turn you over. And now, like as Blake said, so I live at 28 William Street, and this concerns me too, the limits of the 1974 and the 6 or more units, because so many of these buildings that were built down here in this Main Street district were built in the early 1900s. My building is a Spanish influenza style building that kept us healthy during a pandemic, but since I moved here, I moved into that building 8 years ago. The rent was $950, including heat and hot water. And now fair market value for that apartment today is $2,700. I can't pay that. There's no way. So, having grown up, I grew up in Coxsackie. If you know me, I've lived here for a long time now to still not even be a Catskillian. I know what it is to be kind of a new person after 24 years here. But the first decade of my career was in education. Those students are now parents with their own businesses and community members who are getting priced out of this area. They're now in their people in their 30s who can't afford to raise their children here in the area they grew up in. The 10 years after that, I was in community development. I worked for the nonprofits here. I ran programming and outreach for the public library. I was the executive director of our community center after that. I helped this economic and cultural impact that has now priced me out of my own neighborhood to happen. For the last 4 years, I've been working as a freelancer. I worked as a consulting producer in live events and programming. I still continue to try to give back to this community. I've based my career and business as an entrepreneur on my location here in Catskill. The offers that I have out, the networking that I've done, and everything comes back to hopefully being able to relax into a season of creating more impactful events and supporting my community here. And this month I got a notice to vacate for my landlady with no good cause. No discussion, no postmark, no notarization, no nothing. Stuffed into my mailbox because the landlords are afraid to talk about it too. Obviously it is a business and we know that it is a business. But that doesn't mean it's up to me to make up the difference and based on what has happened here in the last few years or up to anyone in here. So in order to be able to transition and to do this smoothly, to allow people, you know, I want my friend Blake to be able to do well at his apartment that he invested in, his building he invested in as a landlord, but I also want him to be able to continue to live here and be my neighbor. You know, I want to be able to continue to live here and be able to, you know, give back to our community. But this is absolutely necessary. This is full support for a study like this one. Four people in Greene County own all the buildings and nobody can maintain them. My landlady now had this lovely dream of owning a shop in Catskill, but since she has occupied her own shop and no longer has rent from that tenant, she can't afford to maintain the building and sustain the building. So it's falling into disrepair. This is happening all too common. People are trying to, you know, kind of take on more than they can, and then they can't pay for it. So that shouldn't be up to the tenants who have done nothing but continue to work hard and contribute to our community and pay our rent on time in full. So this definitely needs the board's full attention and support, please.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I found that data. So it's for the village, it's 14 buildings, comprising 112 units. For the town, beyond the village, it would be 12 buildings and 192 units. So total, it would be 26 buildings, 340 units.
Oh, okay. Sounds like where do we get 300 buildings?
Yeah.
So I would say, to riff off of that, in New York City, a rent-controlled building is like pre-1940, and it can be fewer units than that. So those of us who are living down here in the good business district in buildings that were built in 1903 or 1910, and they have two or three units in them, those tenants need protections too, because that's the building. Those are the spaces that they're after right now.
Right. But again, that's a village board issue.
Right, and they'll hear about it too. But you guys
need to know. Appreciate it.
I don't know to what degree the deciding group that is implemented can change those standards for what buildings qualify. Mm-hmm. But
and just your request to maybe look at some of the other years and some of the other conditions of buildings, because it does say...
says pre-1974, it doesn't say post.
And it says it's possible to remove certain classes of buildings from regulation, so that would be kind of what we need to talk about a little bit more.
Might just be passing a local law.
And also consistency around regulation of this. So for example, I know on my renter's insurance policy, it says my building was built in 1970, but it wasn't. It was built in 1910. So it's a matter of also knowing that, and the committee that you're proposing, I think, is wonderful. That would be exactly the kind of thing, you know, that the rent guidelines board is looking at in terms of, you know, statistically what's happening there and being able to get a full picture.
Family.
Yes. Anybody else?
Yeah. Ellie? Hi, everyone. Elliot Matos, live right here on Main Street. I'm the host of Castle Housing Coalition. Most of you know me already. I just wanted to say that just a little while ago, I was looking for Elizabeth's name, and I stumbled on an email from 2019 asking about a vacancy study. This is something that I already saw happening in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is something. It's about time that we just do this. So I just wanted to give my those words.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
I have a copy of the three references at the bottom of the document if people want to peruse them. It's the application, the fact sheet, and the hearing.
Thank you.
Okay. Board? Yeah, the timeline for July 7th does not work, or July 2nd won't work. It's not enough posting time, correct, Liz? We have to have 10 days?
5 days for...
Five.
But I would need the publication by Friday. Put it in the paper by Monday.
To put it in the paper by Monday.
If it's possible, we can on Monday.
Would that be possible?
It is technically possible.
You can just send me the... just send me the notice of the...
Publication.
Okay, so, yeah, that's definitely possible.
I think we should do the vacancy study, my it personal terms. It doesn't hurt. To see what comes back out.
Basically, I'll make a motion to hold a public hearing at 6:30 p.m. on July 2nd.
Motion by Jared.
Second.
Second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay. I want everybody in this room to come to every meeting.
Just because
you clap. It's just, it's great to have people actually talk to.
That may be the first time I heard applause in town hall.
But this is good. It's progress. We all see an issue and we're all trying to work through this problem together.
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything on that topic before we move on? All right. So if you want to stay for the rest of the meeting, you can. If not, we'll hold off for a couple seconds for everybody to leave. It's up to you. Yep. So next up is Delaware Engineering. We are going to apply for a comprehensive plan review through a New York State grant. Delaware Engineering gave us a quote for $4,000 to help us with the grant. We have the money in the B fund, so I'd like a motion to be able to sign the contract with them.
Motion
by Brian, second by Jerry. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. We have a memo from George June requesting two transfers. One will be for a full-time EMT position. He's requesting Joshua Matthijs be promoted from a part-time EMT to be appointed to a full-time EMT effective June 30th. And the other one is to fill a vacancy for a paramedic position for Aaron Cook, also effective June 30th.
Motion.
Motion by Dawn, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Earlier this morning, I sent out the results from Auctions International. Our highway department auctioned a bunch of surplus vehicles. One was a code, Trailblazer, two rollers, a couple leaf blowers, and a Terror Star, some weed whackers. Everybody get a chance to look over that?
Yeah.
Jared had a question about the Salter, if it was cheaper to scrap, showing really doesn't care either way. We can scrap it. He anticipates we'll get about $100 on Auctions International, one for 50.
Just dispose of it, I think.
Okay. So motion to accept.
Motion.
The bidding from Auctions International. Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Reminder that cleanup day is this Sunday at the transfer station from 7:30 to 2:30. It's a Sunday this year, and it's at the transfer station. The ambulance bond, we currently have an ambulance bond out. The last payment is this August. We have an ambulance on order. We have two options. One is basically going to rely on our next steps with the re-eval, which hopefully by next meeting we'll have something from Audrey. But we'll have to make a decision sooner rather than later as to if we're going to pay for that ambulance with cash using ARPA monies if we decide not to do the re-eval, or we'll have to do a bond resolution to pay for the ambulance. So just keep that on your radar for the first meeting in July. Also on that topic, our capital improvement bond for the one that we took out for town hall and the highway department is up next year. So my thought for that would be to take out another one for the senior center and the ambulance building, because both of those structures are in dire need of something. some attention. It's been since early 2000 since we put in the money.
I think we need to identify property to build a new facility.
We can.
I'm so tired of dumping money into these old buildings.
I know. But it's again, it goes to the cost of the property.
Yeah, the ambulance building itself isn't conducive to growing the organization because it limits the rigs we can purchase.
Yeah.
It's a money pit.
I think once we get that, those bids that come back, then we can make a final decision on what we're going to do with those ARPA funds.
Yeah, because we have to have a solid plan submitted by, I believe it's November, as to what we're doing with ARPA.
Correct, before December 1st.
Yep. So, I don't know if we have any updates. Maybe. Last meeting we had a couple here about a red tag building on 23. I don't know if we had...
Dumpsters in the front yard.
Yep. DC was made aware of it. DH was made aware of it. Matt was working on it.
Could Audrey have those proposals to us by the next meeting?
So we can sure she will. Yeah.
So again.
Yep. Demolition for Quarterscale home on for the house on Quarterscale. We're working with DC. Matt's been in communication with them about that because there's questions about the septic tank. There's regulations regarding that. We're going back and forth as if we have to remove the septic tank or we can just bury that as well. You want to...
County Central Air Board
this month. Yes, I forgot about that. The county probably 2 months ago sent a letter out to all villages and towns stating that they would give us up to $25,000 for youth or veterans programs. So we, the town, decided last month to ask the county for that $25,000 to upgrade the scoreboard at the Rick and Kramer Field. They have since approved. We got a letter for that. Jared is working on quotes. I saw a couple quotes for lighting.
Oh, that's another dream.
Yep.
I've been gathering quotes for scoreboards. I'm waiting for one more, the company that the Little League got theirs from. But we have the funding in place now, so we'll be moving forward, and hopefully by the end of the year we'll have a new scoreboard at Ricky Kramer.
Nice.
I've been gathering intel on lighting the field and getting some quotes, and actually it is not as expensive as I thought it was going to be. The poles that are in place still can be reused. One has to be moved, and we may have to add one or two more, which I would probably seek Central Hudson's donation side for that. But over the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping to have a lighting plan to present to the board that we can consider. And I like Patrick's idea of hopefully working with American Legion to write a grant to the county to help with the lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
My name's Claire. I live in the city of Hudson, but I have lots of nieces and nephews in the village. But I was curious, has the town considered the cost of running a summer program? And one suggestion is it's prevention dollars.
So we do a summer rec program for kids. Okay. It's active this year. It's July 8th through August 15th. It's at the Catskill Elementary School Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then it'll be at the Community Life Church for the 2 weeks in August.
Cool. Thank you.
Yep. How many kids do we have signed up? Do you know that?
40. We'll say 40 for now.
No, the town's been running a summer rec program for over 20 years.
There were concerns the last few years, at least, with how the program was running or how kids were going to get to the program. So I guess maybe more of the question is, like, have you considered how it can be more accessible then? Because I know that they attend summer rec, and you know my nieces and nephews,
yep.
they go, but lack of programming, lack of staff, lack of transportation, all those things are questions that people ask, to the point where there are folks that didn't realize that there was still a summer rec program running. So just wondering if there's any extra effort that might be going into, like, expanding or accessibility.
Yep, so the program and the staffing the last 2 years have been completely redone. We've got that. I think the program that Barb Bursick, who's our new director, she works for the school. She used to do summer rec
years ago.
Years ago. Yeah. The activities that she has the kids doing is phenomenal. They're nonstop.
See, a couple of years that for a small, well, for a period of time, the town was funding the program, but we gave it to the community center to help them increase activity. Once the community center went defunct, the town took it back. This will be our third year of running it again.
And maybe that's where the lapse is for folks. Maybe they're...
Yeah.
Students, though, should be bringing things home from school about it. And, I mean, at this point...
Yep, the flyers were handed out.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, the flyers were all handed out.
What's the cutoff age?
The cutoff age is seventh grade.
Okay.
Yep.
We expanded the program this year to seventh grade.
Okay. And do you have any programming for teenagers in the summer?
Teenagers, no. No. And transportation, something that JR and I have talked about this numerous times. We don't currently have a mechanism for transportation yet. The school is not willing to allow us to use their buses. I've talked to the county about using their shuttle buses. They're not open to the idea. So we're stuck on that one. Yes.
I would suggest mental health and with prevention dollars. Columbia County has done that. They've contracted with MHACG that does like the youth clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They have a fleet of vans that maybe.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, that's a yes, and everything she's saying, especially the transportation. I think Renee gave you the in here, like infrastructure stuff that we need here is the transportation factor.
Yeah, right.
We do need to be able to take young people to programming and elders to programming, and that's a huge, huge need that would, you know, really help a lot in a lot of the issues that are interconnected, like where are people living and working and going to things that are social. It's all the transportation piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if what he just said can be tied to making that happen, we have met our problem.
Yeah.
Is it through mental health or mental health?
Yeah.
The health association.
Would you be able to email the board that information?
Sure.
You wouldn't mind doing that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to...
I'll tag on to that. Michael Shimidis from Columbia County Board of Supervisors has expanded their
transportation. So that's handled by the county, though, right?
The county gives out the prevention dollars, yes.
Green County does?
I live in Columbia County.
Yeah.
That's how, but as like a model, you know. Yeah. I'm
sure Green County has the same program.
Yes.
And we just don't know about it, and there's money there.
Do you know if this youth clubhouse here does the same stuff as well? Because
yeah, the Kai Hillman is the...
Yeah, okay.
He's over in Hudson, but I know the Mental Health Association has a fleet of vans that... Oftentimes, if there's a proposal, they're willing to contract with the community. They'll just, like, it'll have to be their driver or something like that, and you just give them hours. Or if there's, like, they can run a program this amount of days at your program, then that makes sense for why they can justify the use of the vehicle
okay.
for the program type of thing.
Because we're probably at the point where we'd have to hire Coxsackie Transport.
Yeah, and like unfortunately that. For this year, it's too late because our application for DOH has already been submitted.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to submit to DOH now to run this program every year, and it has to be submitted 30 days prior to the start. So Andrew already has our app, so we're not allowed to add transportation because then we'll have to hire a transportation director. But definitely for next year, I think we should look into this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Start early, like in April.
Because that's a big concern.
Yep.
Obviously to me and the rest of these guys as well. A lot of schools... some schools actually own their own busing. Unfortunately, Catskill doesn't.
Hudson doesn't either.
So that's a big issue.
The way that they've gotten around it in Columbia County is that our youth director, we just got a new youth director, he's given out some grant money to each municipality, town, or village that wants to opt in to using a specific transportation company. And they've given out grants, and they've given out prevention money that the Department of Social Services commissioner has access to. Usually it goes to like probation, or it goes to like youth detention type of things, but they've been redirecting it into community resources and really trying to be creative about how that stream of funding is being used.
So any of that information, if you could
do you think a go around would be for
and
the individual
that,
camp goer to make
the
arrangement through that?
Your
to still get to camp.
If they can, sure. I'd be
here.
Curious to see if Green County has this.
I bet
you they do.
They do.
So that's
I don't think they
so
use it.
Push.
They use it for other things.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You might not have heard, but I just asked the supervisor if maybe the individual child who's going to rec, maybe they could, because we can't do it for this year, but if they were able to implement the transportation through them directly.
On an individual basis.
Right. Even though maybe 10 or 12 kids that need it, it's still a group, but we're kind of like
circumventing
the procedures for Department of Health for this year to help out.
Yeah, I think that'd be like the school district would be the easiest way to coordinate that, but mm-hmm. that'd still be like a lot of overhead to like coordinate.
They don't want to help with that.
Yeah.
No.
It's kind of our baby, and that's it.
Yeah, I've had that conversation with them a couple times. Yeah. Which I get.
It'd probably help if they got buses out of it that then got used, you know, in the contract agreement. On weekends, they, you know, go to farmer's markets. So Ag and Markets also chips a little money. And, you know, during the summer, they go to the youth programs or the community events. And having money go toward vehicles that the school then owned all the time, but then when school wasn't in session, they could be used for
community things.
Pathway to getting them to do it, rather than having to do like the administrative labor around the paperwork of every child coming in with every, you know, different transportation. That's a lot, but for them to be like, okay, we're going to get two buses, right? If we let it be that they take kids to rec in the summer, and that they go to the farmer's market every Sunday, and that they do this at the senior center, whatever. That's a yes, yes.
Well, they have a bus now that they don't use because they don't have someone to drive it.
Right, so that has to be part
but
of
got a good deal,
you know,
yes.
part of what infrastructure is. Like with Green County Transit, you know, you mentioned the firehouse doesn't have the capacity to hold the vehicles. It's the same kind of thing. So Green County Transit does do routes and they have things established, but there aren't enough routes or enough vehicles or enough drivers. So that's another piece of the puzzle, is to make sure that mm-hmm. there is, you know, there are resources there to support the staff that they need to do it too.
Right.
When I spoke with a team with ARC about expanding the transit in 2020, in March 2020, before the pandemic went into effect, but we had a conversation and we talked about how there wasn't funding and they needed funding from the town and the county in order to expand for different services or expand the bus routes.
Yeah.
But they were willing to do that. That was in 2020. They were really willing, but they just needed county support.
Mm-hmm. Do we know how much?
I don't know.
We can find out.
Yeah.
But ARC, I sat down with them at their offices and talked to them about that.
Because I know there's some kids out in Palenville, Kiskatong, Cement, mm-hmm. that could absolutely
Leeds.
Benefit Leeds everywhere throughout the town.
All throughout the town is a big thing, you know, and you guys aren't the only people that have mentioned it, you know, and it's a big concern for myself and most mm-hmm. of these guys as well, you know.
There's lots of creative, I won't go off on a tangent, there's lots of creative, like, organizations and ways to meet that burden. One idea that I know has worked in the past is also BART College. They have students that need summer internships. They have the civic engagement wing of their school, and like if you partnered up with mentoring for the summer, or like some of their alumni that might be doing stuff there. If you even Columbia Green, if you set up a mentor type of program, you can use their resources. If you just plug into the community organizations in that way, a lot of them will lend out their vehicles in that way.
BART has an incredible, I worked for BART Transportation. They have an incredible fleet of buses and everything for them. So that's a great idea.
And that
Definitely.
Would be a great field trip to BART.
Mm-hmm. I did mentoring at BART. I had a BART mentor that I was paired up with, and they would pick us up 3 nights a week, take us out there. We'd have dinner at the college, and they'd help me with my homework, and then we'd get bus home later that night, and they'd invest in, like, if I wanted to make music, they'd show me a recording studio on campus, that type of thing. So it's like, also, you can justify it as like community awareness. You're exposing kids to different career paths, all the different things. I can go off on a really long tangent about youth programming.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of creative ways to plug into transportation. And mm-hmm. I know you guys are in a very rural community, so there's lots of kids that are not accessing summer programming and what happens in those summer months. Especially after COVID, we see how kids are losing
mm-hmm.
out on education time, losing out on social engagement. There's all the things.
Mm-hmm.
All the things.
Yes, and unfortunately, people aren't going to care enough a lot about the kids' things, but if you call it workforce development or if you call it business development,
sure.
then they will care about it and it will get approved, even if the tertiary thing it does is take all these young people to these great programs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the fact that they'll get to go to a music studio, technically just using the phrase workforce development, is going to give you the points that you need to get the thing out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like she says, make the connection. It's there.
Okay. That was a good discussion.
Thank you, guys.
It was definitely good. So maybe a month ago, we received a letter from Laurie Schmidt regarding a property. Did the board want to have an open discussion about that? The property in Leeds?
No, because I think the DEC's already made a finding and determined it not detrimental.
Okay.
And I find it an issue with our planning board members sending letters like this to the board when they should understand that planning and zoning is.
Okay. That is all. That is all I have. Does anybody else have anything?
I wanted to just make a public thank you to Mark Hayden for donating the banner yes. for the senior center. We went through his, I don't know what his company's name is.
Upstate Inc.
Thank you. To have a banner made with our rules and guidelines for the senior center, and it came out beautiful. And when I emailed him about payment, he said he was donating it, which is lovely. So we really appreciate that.
And he's another example of someone who had a brick and mortar on Main Street and got priced out of his own neighborhood. There you go. Full circle.
Brian?
Nope.
Jerry?
I think we've covered everything.
Liz, am I forgetting anything?
No.
Anybody in the public? Last chance. State your name.
My name is Adrian Fernandez. I live on Main Street. Why did you guys begin the session going into executive session?
We had a
constituents in the room, and it seemed like it was not being considerate of the time a lot of people take out of their days to come here. That the first 30 minutes we have here, we're not getting into stuff that the constituents would be here for.
Yeah, we had a personnel issue that needed to be addressed immediately.
I also just like to address the fact that it is Juneteenth, and I was surprised that the meeting is still happening. There's a big Juneteenth celebration that suddenly that happened in Hudson, and I had to beat it. It was just about to start too, because I wanted to be here because this was an important issue for where I live. But I just like the board to consider this moving forward, that Juneteenth is a holiday.
Yeah, we tend to hold our meeting on election day too. We just, because if we skip this, we don't have another meeting until the end of the month.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Motion by Jerry.
Second.
Second by JR, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thanks everybody for coming out.
Thank you.
Big crowd.